and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We've talked about how that we are to finish the race. We're in a race, and we're to do what God wants us to do in this race. We're to be witnesses for Him as the children of God. We're to do the things that God has for us to do. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That's how we get the job done, is by being strong in the Lord. In the power of His might, let His power work through us and in us that we can finish the race that God has set before us. And we've talked about that. We're to be strong in the power of His might to do what He wants us to do, to be able to do what He wants us to do. And I left off last time by saying, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4:13 was where Paul the Apostle said that. You and I need to have that same attitude, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But Paul is not finished. He goes ahead in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6. He lets us know that we can be strengthened in the might of God, in His mighty power, with His mighty power. But he doesn't stop there. He gives us instruction as to how we can access this power of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In other words, so you can finish the race, so you can stand against the onslaughts of the devil, of the one who wants to kill everyone in this world, who wants to see everyone in hell, in the lake of fire. But he tells us, God tells us to keep on keeping on, to get the job done until our job here on earth is finished. Well, either way, when he comes back in the rapture of the church, when he says, "Come up hither," or the breath leaves us, that is when our job is finished. And that job is the job that God has given us. It's the business that God has given us. You know, I think of the word business, I think of when Jesus was teaching in the temple at 12 years of age. He was teaching, and it tells us that the people listening were confounded by what he was saying, how he was saying it, and how accurate he was saying it from the Old Testament, from the Scriptures. And then his mother came back. They had left him behind. They were on their way back home. That is Mary and Joseph. They were on their way back home, and Jesus was there in the temple. They had left him behind, didn't realize it for a while. And then Mary came in, and she saw him. She says, "What are you doing here? What?" I'm just paraphrasing now. "What are you doing here? What? You know, you shouldn't have done this. Why are you doing this? And why are you here?" And Jesus said, "Didn't you know?" I'm paraphrasing again. "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And I would submit to you today that we, the children of God, need to be about our Father's business. Our Father's business as people of God is to let other people know that they need a Savior, that there is a Savior who can save them and take them to heaven, and they can go just like we're going, and they can be happy. I was witnessing to an individual the other day, and I asked this person, I said, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Have you asked Christ into your heart?" And you know what he said? He said, "Only a moron would not want to go to heaven." He said, "I'm on my way. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." When I'm dealing with people, I don't call them morons if they haven't trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But this man did. He called them morons. And that means somebody that doesn't have a lot of good common sense, I suppose. I don't know what his definition of a moron is, but Jesus wants all of us to be saved. It doesn't make any difference who we are, who you are, and where you come from. He wants all of us to be in heaven one day with him. He doesn't want any of us going to a devil's hell. And thank God, I'm not going to a devil's hell or the lake of fire because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if you've not done that, you can be saved as well by asking him to come into your heart. Well, Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, he of course is speaking to Christians to save people. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Well, the whole armor is the description that comes from the ancient soldier who would wear armor for protection of his entire body. Paul is likening this, the armor of God, to this. Now, the various parts of the armor of protection that come from God are listed in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. We'll get to that, the Lord's will, later. You see, the word rendered whole armor means complete armor, offensive and defensive. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on what? The armor of light. Who is light? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We're to put on the armor that's supplied by him. He is God. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. That means we're not to leave anything uncovered. We're to have the whole armor of God on us. The armor of God is not that which God wears, but that which he has provided for the Christian soldier. We're in a warfare here. We're in a battle. And we need to have everything that God offers us. And he offers us his whole armor, all protection, not just part of a protection or a protective device or element or clothing. He offers us the whole armor. I believe that according to what I'm reading here, put on the whole armor of God, the meaning is this, that we are not to provide in our warfare such as the weapons of men would use in their conflicts. I mean, that only makes good spiritual common sense. But we are to put on that armor such as God provides. We are to reject the weapons which are fleshly and put on the weapons that God has directed for us for the achievement of victory. Now, if we depend upon the flesh, the Bible teaches us the flesh is going to let us down. If we depend upon the things of this world, the world is going to let us down. There is no protection coming from this world for the Christian. The only protection that we have, and thank God that it is the best protection, and that is the whole armor of God. That is how we get victory in this world, in the Christian life. Victory against the devil, victory against anything that comes against us as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying we don't get sick. I'm not saying that there are pitfalls that come into our lives. We may run out of money. We may find ourselves looking for different things that we do not have. I'm not saying that it's a bed of roses, but what we need comes from God. He is the one who can give us the whole armor. If we depend upon our own thoughts, upon our own flesh, to get the job done that God has given us to do, we're going to fail miserably. We need to have God's armor upon us, the thing that God has provided for us. We are to put on the whole armor, not just part of it. We are not to go armed with just some of what God has provided and some of what the flesh offers. In other words, we don't mix those two to get victory in the Lord. We are not to put on just part of the armor of God, but all of it, the whole armor. A saved person needs all the armor if he is about to fight the battles of the Lord. A saved person who's just recently saved, they need the whole armor of God, just like the person who's been saved for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. If a person in the warfare of God lacks one of the weapons which God has provided, defeat may be the consequence. So therefore, we need the whole armor of God, everything that He offers. Well, why should you as a Christian put on the whole armor of God? Now, I've mentioned some of these things, but you see, why are we to do that? That you may be able to stand, the verse goes on to say in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, that you may be able to stand. The enemies of the Christian are so many and mighty that unless clothed with the divine armor of God, victory will be impossible. According to the Word of God, we've been given by God what we need in order to stand, to have victory, in other words, over the devil and the things of this world. The devil uses many things to defeat the Christian, and God calls what the devil uses to defeat us wiles, W-I-L-E-S. When using all that God has given us to combat the devil, then we are able to stand. Stand against what? Against the wiles of the devil. The meaning for the word wiles means that which is a type of process, that is a method, a plan, that is well laid out with skill and cunning. Well, the same meaning of the word wiles is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm going to read that in just a moment. The word wiles is not used in Ephesians 4:14, the word itself is not there, but the meaning of the context of that verse is the same that's found in Ephesians 6:11, where the word wiles is used. Listen now as I read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Those things mentioned there that can come into the life of a Christian, or that can hinder the Christian life, those things mentioned in Ephesians 4:14 is the same thing as the wiles of the devil. It's something that the reason we need to have the whole armor of God. Well, people who use the devil's plan, using his wiles, cause other people to be tossed to and fro, not knowing up or down, right or wrong, unable to rightly divide the word of God. The people who use the plans of the devil knowingly or unknowingly are waiting for just the right moment. In other words, they lie in wait, according to Ephesians 4:14. They lie in wait to use what the devil has given them, to deceive, pretend to be something they're not, or to offer something that will totally confuse individuals they come into contact with. You may have come into contact with some of these characters, some people who've tried to discourage you, people who have maybe told you, well, it's no use, you know, you're not going to hold out, you're not going to be able to hold out. How many times have you heard someone say that to you? That's the wiles of the devil. That's of the devil when someone tells you that. You need to let God hold you out. You need to let this person know who may say something like that to you, I don't have to depend upon myself. I depend upon my Lord and Savior, because one day I'm going to see Him, because I have eternal life. He's given me eternal life, and He says He will never cast me out. The Bible tells me that. I'm on my way to heaven, and nothing any person can do can stop me from going to heaven. Now, you need to tell people that when they start talking to you and giving you a rough time, you say, I'm on my way to heaven. And then say, are you saved on your way to heaven? Witness to them and tell them they too can be on their way to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.